down once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play a call for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
And good morning to the remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live from a snowy and brisk Radio Ranch this morning. About 5 degrees outside, but it's a little warmer than that in here, and so glad to have that. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, Lord Jesus, and thank you for this beautiful sunrise. The time marches on. Here it is, the end of February, and I like this time of year. The days are getting longer, and it's getting a little brighter, a little earlier, and I'm sure looking forward to that. Well, guys, we'll have the phone lines open up a little later, but it's always good to open in a word of prayer, and John, we'll sure ask you to do that, sir.
Absolutely. I'm the Father, we come before you, Lord, and we praise you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God of Gods and our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for that great sacrifice of your Son on the cross to save a wretch like me. Father, we pray Luke 12:12 over this radio program this morning, that the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we claim Luke 10:19 as well, Father, that your word says you've given us authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. Father, that greater is he, which is you, that is for us, than all those that can come against us, and that no weapon that is formed by the enemy shall prosper. So, Father, we enact all of those promises. We claim every one of them, Father, for those that are yours. Those that will not bow their knee to Baal, those that boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus, those that desire to labor in the vineyard, Lord. But we do pray for your protection as well, Father. We know that spiritual warfare is real because your word says it's real. So, Father, I pray that you would remove the scales from your people's eyes and unstop their ears, and that they would see that these things are real and they're truth. And in the last days, evil, knowing that its time is limited, would rise up. And we're seeing that all across this country. Father, we do pray for protection not only for our president. Father, we know he's not perfect. Far from it, Lord. But at least he's making a difference in the quick descent that this country was taken right into the pits of hell. So, Father, I pray that you would just give your people some patience and understand that there's 8 years of things that have to be undone. There's 8 years of federal judges who are the biggest part of why this country has descended into the position that it is right now. And that no matter what he does, until those judges are removed, until those judges are brought to the courts of heaven and judged by you, the Heavenly Father, that these things cannot change. So, Father, give us wisdom. Pray for a special anointing to be upon those that are yours, Father. Your word says that when we need it, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would speak through us. So, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would speak through us in the proper time. And Father, I ask that not one of yours, Lord, one of your remnant, one of those that's been brought up in the truth, Lord, that's been baptized for the remission of sins, come to repentance, died to their old life, been born again of the water and the Spirit, received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and their name is entered into the Lamb's Book of Life, would be sifted, Lord. We pray a hedge of angels and a ring of fire and a shield of light around those that are yours. Father, your word says in James 1:14 that we have the authority to call upon angels. Well, we're calling upon guardian angels, Father, to protect those that are yours. Not only guardian angels, but warring angels, Father, to come against those that would come against, who would dare to come against your people. Father, we claim this country back to the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, yes. Jesus Christ, and we say, Satan, you can't have it. Take your myriads and your myriads of demons and conquer some other country, because this country is being claimed back to the service of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for all of these things. We bind the forces of hell that are coming against your people. Lord, we send any demonic forces, any spells, any witchcraft that's been sent against your people, and we send it to your feet to be dealt with any way you see fit. Father, we ask that they would fall in the pits that they dig and be ensnared in the traps that they lay. And Father, we claim promises in your word regarding regard them not that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them, for I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live, and a man also, or a woman, that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death, and they shall stone them with stones with their blood. Father, our desire is just as your desire is. You're not slow as the world counts slow, but you're patient, not wanting any of yours to come to destruction, but for all to come to repentance. Well, that's our prayer, Father. If any of these, even those that are caught in the occult, Father, those that may have opened a door that they shouldn't have opened, those that may have created a conduit to demons that they knew nothing about, Father, we ask that you would pull them out of it right now, Father, that you would crush that conduit, that you would slam that door, and we plead the blood of Jesus over those that can to come to repentance, Lord. But those that can't, Father, we claim your promises in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. John, the thought occurred to me that some teachings our pastor did regarding witches and spells, and I'm sure you men remember it, and by all means correct me if I get it wrong or miss something, but he taught of when he was flying one time, and I think sat next to a self-proclaimed witch, a woman that claimed she was a witch, and said that, oh yes, when they fly around in jet airplanes, commercial flights, that they pray. They pray that women would be discontent. They pray against this country. They pray against Christians. And
that was actually somebody else that was sitting next to the witch. It wasn't him.
Okay.
And
but she was.
But it was along the way that was those lines. That's what she was praying. She was praying for women to be discontent in the houses
with their husbands. Yeah.
Yes, I certainly remember that part. Well, thanks for clarifying that. But along those lines, and this is what had to be 20 plus years ago, probably more than that. That mm-hmm. was going on. So when when we hear our pastor teaching that he hears this firsthand, when we read in the Bible, as John just quoted some scripture, we see that, or we should see that, you know, there just might be something to that. There just might be. It should also bring to mind that greater is he that is for us than anything that can come against us, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But that is what they are doing. What the Antichrist, the enemies of God, those that hate Jesus Christ, those that hate this country, those that hate you, and those that hate me. And that's what they do. They hate us, and they are doing that which is filthy and ungodly and called an abomination by our God, even today. I think it shows that time of the tares and the wheat draws so much closer, because the tares are in this case the witches are standing up tall and proud and haughty and thinking that they can do this and get away with it.
Yeah, one of the headlines I read from some of the articles on this which is calling to curse President Trump was, it's not a political battle anymore. It's spiritual warfare now. And how true that is. Of course, it's always been a spiritual warfare. Yes. It's just that some of America is finally waking up. Some of the Christians are finally waking up to it. And if you're just tuning in and you're listening and you're saying, what in the world am I listening to? You're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It'll be like something you probably never heard before, and it'll be, Lord willing, just as we prayed, guided and directed by the Holy Spirit of what it is that he wants spoken to his people.
Amen.
And this this call for the witches to curse President Trump started last night at midnight, and it was to continue on every month on the night of the waning crescent moon until he is driven from office, is what they said. And this rite, I mean, there was prayers and things, and we're not going to pray those, because I believe if we pray those that there's power in that as well. So we're not going to go through the actual curse prayers that they list, but what they said: the rite requiring a stub of a candle, a pin, salt, matches, a tarot card, a feather, and other odds and ends, calls on spirits to ensure President Trump will fail utterly. It also includes burning the picture of the commander-in-chief, visualizing him blowing apart into dust or ash. And then among those various spirits invoked are the demons of the infernal realms. And then I thought this was interesting, too. The far-left feminist blog, Jezebel, I didn't even know there was such a thing. I guess I can imagine it in today's day and age.
Yeah, I didn't want to, but praise the Lord.
Which is named after the biblical queen who mandated the worship of Baal and Asherah instead of God, published a gushing story in September of 2015 about Brooklyn witches of immigrant descent cursing President Trump. So really, if you look at what's going on, is that the left is open and embraced demonic imagery.
Yes.
And is revealing the level of hatred against Donald Trump is generated by Satan himself. Like we said in the prayer, Donald Trump's not a perfect man, but he's trying to stop the runaway freight train of evil that has existed for 8 years emanating out of Washington and the Democratic Party. The left, Antichrist for the most part, I would say, is mesmerized by issues that tear down and that grieve the heart of God. Donald Trump doesn't have the power to neutralize these people and their agenda, but he's trying to make significant inroads to stop the tremendous slide to the dark side in America. He has some solid Bible-believing Christians at his side. Together, we can make a huge difference and repair some of the damage done by the evildoers. Well, we believe more than that. We believe we're going to take this country back.
Amen.
To the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. But we got to remember, too, that the Bible says in the last days that evil will wax worse and worse. And what's somewhat alarming, though, is there's children as young as 4 and 5 years old now being desensitized to the occult through these after-school Satan clubs that we've talked about that have been launched in public schools to offset the Good News Club, which was basically teaching them about Jesus. So,
amen. And we have a New Testament scripture I'd like to read real quick. It's 1 Timothy 2, and it's an urging along these lines. If I can read that. 1 Timothy 2, it's verse 1 through 5. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. For kings, and that would be they had kings then. Today we have governors and presidents that I think fit that role. For kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And so here, and this is not the only scripture we have where we are instructed, we are urged, we are directed to pray for our leaders. You can look in Proverbs 11:14, Proverbs 21:1, Proverbs 1:23, talks about pour out your spirit on us, Lord, and on our leaders, and Psalms 2 and in Jeremiah, and we are to do that. I mean, Jason, you nailed it. You might need to, just like they are making this Make America Great Again, trying to copyright it and promote it, put it on hats, and you might need to do that, put your quote on hats and shirts, bumper stickers, and you know, isn't it great to be able to pray for our leaders instead of against? And it certainly is with the people that I've talked to. The people that have come up out of the blue. And I encourage you, folks, wear your God Save America Again. If you have a hat or if you have one of those shirts, God Save America Again. I wear mine around town sometimes, my hat, and boy, people, they notice that, it seems like, anymore. They really do.
Yeah, and we still have quite a bit of shirts, don't we?
We still have some shirts, we do. The God Save America Again shirts, and I think we have them for a $10 donation. They're as inexpensive as any shirt you can get out there, and they're a good high quality dark.
It costs us about that much.
Dark navy shirt, yeah,
because they're they're American made. Didn't make sense to use China T-shirts on God Save America. So.
Right, but we are to pray.
But it wasn't about making money. It was getting the word out.
Absolutely, and we are to pray for our leaders. And like you said, John, he's not perfect, but who do you think, when Paul was writing back here in 1 Timothy, who was the leader then? You think they were under Roman control then? You think they had godly leaders then, to where they were perfect, where they had someone like a Paul or a Peter that had become governor or king or leader? No. But they were told, urge you that prayers be made for kings and all who are in authority. Why? For them, but also so we can lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And remember, we know them by their fruits. There are two different, Pastor used to talk about, there's builders and destroyers. Jesus Christ said, you're either for me or against me. You either gather for Christ or you scatter. It's one or the other. And we do. The fruit that comes from, whether it's us or our leaders, it either points to that abundant life that Jesus Christ came and he said, I come to bring abundant life. Or it is what the thief comes to steal, kill, or destroy. Now, for at least the last 8 years, you see that that's who's been in control. That's been the fruit, is stealing, killing, destroying, whether it be the economy or the economics in the land or the land itself, or the lives of the people. The fruit has been stealing, killing, and destroying. Well, that's changing. That's changing. And I think that ties in with what we've talked about, to where the people say, and we notice there is a different spirit in the land. And it is a spirit that leads, that points more toward that abundant life that Christ came to give than the stealing, killing, and destroying. And when our word tells us to pray for our leaders. Now, we understand that, yeah, the leader is not perfect, but the things that we're seeing, yeah, the fruit that we're seeing is certainly better fruit than we've seen in the last 8 years.
It goes back to even, 3 months ago, whatever it was, for the night of the election. If you watch that, like I said, I did. In the physical realm, they had that election won. They had cheated enough. They had rigged enough machines. They had done enough that the numbers showed that Hillary Clinton would be the next president. And that's evident by the celebrations that they were having long before they even started counting the votes. It's evident, yeah, by a lot of things that were said. And it was well known throughout the Antichrist, Jewish-owned media, and all the different organizations. But in the spiritual realm, because I believe God breathed his breath into those Christians who had fallen asleep as the watchmen over the house of Israel, and they rose up, and you can condemn them, damn them to hell, whatever you want,
right,
for voting, but the reality is we're no different than those who sit and wait for the rapture. If we don't do something, we're just waiting for the rapture, just like all the other Christians. And what were we told? We're not to do that. We're to do everything we can to affect the country that we live in and to keep it as a godly nation. I mean, so what we witnessed was a spiritual deliverance of a nation.
Yes.
And if you watched that, and I did, those people were crying. They were on their, not on their knees to the Lord. They were broken. They were crying. They could not believe that they lost. And this wicked, evil empire that's been built over the last 8 years by the abomination of desolation, in my opinion, was going to be torn down.
Amen.
Because there was a man who told them the truth.
Amen.
I am going to tear it down.
Amen.
And these things, they're not just going to give the country back without a fight.
Right.
But it's a spiritual warfare. How many times did our pastor teach us that it's a spiritual warfare?
Amen.
And you know what? We've been given more knowledge regarding spiritual warfare than 90% of most of the churches these days. And we're still learning.
Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. And we don't take... Right. And go ahead, Jay.
There was a good example of you start seeing these things, and it puts everything into perspective of good and evil, right and wrong, left and right. Now, this week in Louisiana, they had a town hall meeting, and it was down. They'd had quite a few anti-Trumps out there. They were protesting Trump, and they went into this town hall meeting, and the chaplain, he said, "Well, we're going to open up with a word of prayer," and you can hear people in there. It was actually, somebody got a video on a cell phone, and it was actually a pretty decent video. You can actually hear quite a bit in it, and the protesters are saying prayer, 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 pray on your own time, and they're getting irate. When the chaplain, he invokes the name of God and starts off with "In God We Trust," and they just kept getting madder and madder and madder. And, you know, as he prays, he's getting bolder and bolder. There's people that are telling him, you know, be quiet, you know, keep it down. We're praying. And they ended up getting irate. One person, there's at least one recorded incidence of somebody started calling out the name of Lucifer. And as when he closed the prayer in Jesus' name, that's when they just all completely got irate. But everything settled down right at the end. And it's just, you know, sometimes until a lot of people, you can talk to them about witches, you can talk to them about people praying in the name of Lucifer, calling out on the name of their God, and they won't even believe you. And for the most part, you talk to a Christian, and a Christian won't believe that these things exist, even though we've got example after example of them in our Bibles. We know that they're out there because, you know, the Bible tells us, and that should be just darn enough for us. You know, we should be able to read that and understand that, hey, these people exist. They existed then, they exist today, there's nothing new under the sun. But for some reason, people have a hard time with that. They just don't understand it. They don't really think that those people are out there because, oh, well, you know, that's not in my community, and that's not in my town, and I don't hear about that in my church. But you know, it's to the point. It's they're out there, and that's what they're doing. And it is a spiritual warfare, but it also has grown in from a spiritual warfare into a physical warfare. Because is what we're seeing now is we're seeing a crossover between a spiritual realm and a physical realm, and they're doing a lot more in the physical and manifesting stuff in the physical than they ever have before. As far as in before times, it was they would go in and they would cast their spells. They weren't as bold and brazen. They weren't doing things in public. They weren't going out in public calling on the name of Lucifer. We knew that they were there, but I've seen a shift there as far as, you know, one realm to another, and I believe that it's merging, and that we're going to see that on a lot of different fronts here in the near future.
Yeah, you know, I think just a couple of those little prayers that were revealed to me that I shared with the remnant. If you get an opportunity to go to one of those town halls, try to get there early and anoint it and just pray. Just say that I forbid the enemy from operating in this meeting tonight or this afternoon or this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And they can't. They're bound. When we say, I forbid the enemy from operating in my life, my wife's life, my children's lives, or if we're in a meeting at work and we know that there's those that are of the enemy and they have eyes to see, some of them, and we definitely have eyes to see. I sit in meetings that I know I'm with the Antichrist. I know they know that I'm the light and I know that they're the dark. But guess what? I have the authority. Luke 10:19 says, I have given you the authority over all of the power of the enemy. We go into those meetings and we say, I forbid the enemy from operating against me in this meeting. Guess what? They can't do it.
Amen. Amen. And that ties in with, Jason, like you said, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible about the witches, but the people don't hear it. They don't hear it preached. And if they don't hear it in their church, if they don't hear it from their pastor, they're not going to go home. The majority of them don't go home and read about it in their word. And this is the same way. You quoted that, John, that Luke 10:19. We have been given all power and authority over the enemy. So take it. Use that. Use that authority. Not to be prideful, not to boast, not to be able to say, ha ha, we did this. But to be, it's part of that trying to attain that obedience to God. He tells us to do that. When you read about the the man that comes to Jesus wanting to have the demons cast out of his son, I think it's his son, and he says, I told your disciples to do it, and they couldn't do it. And Jesus does it. And they ask him, why? Why couldn't we do it, Lord? And he says, this kind only comes out with prayer. And I think one of the stories in the Bible talks about where it only comes out by prayer and fasting. But he didn't say it doesn't come out. He tells us how to do it. And
yeah, but he said, ye of little faith.
Ye of little
faith. That's why they couldn't do it.
Ye of little faith.
It's all about the faith.
It is. It is. If we believe, we read the word.
To mess with
if we know it, no, it's not. No, it's not. It is.
Just look at the Jewish priests that tried to cast out demons, and the seven sons of Sceva that tried to cast out demons.
Yes.
And he said, Jesus I know, and Paul I've heard of, but who are you? And what did they do? They beat him up and sent him out naked, running away like a little girl.
Right.
Because if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not born again of
yes.
the water and the Spirit, then you do not have that power of the name.
Amen.
It's not just some magic name. You have to have the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To defeat the enemies.
Jesus himself tells us, if you abide in me and I abide in you, ask anything you wish. And that's, I think, one of the keys, is we have to abide in him. And there's things you have to do to abide in him. And you have to have him, he has to abide in you. And there's things you have to do. You have to do your best to be holy, because he is holy. And we do that through him, not through the works. That comes certainly through faith, but through doing what we are instructed to do. Then he abides in us, and then we do have that power. We do have that authority in Jesus' name over all the power of the enemy. It's what the word says. It's a matter of believing it and trusting it, and then, like you said, John, doing it, going to the courthouse and anointing it, claiming that I forbid the enemy to operate through my life today, to operate through my wife's life today, to operate through my family's life today. I forbid the enemy from operating through my church today. I forbid the enemy from operating, from coming against our leader today. In Jesus' name and to his glory.
Amen.
We have to do it.
Yep.
Well, we can open the phone lines, if that's all right. 307, I'll give the number out.
Sure.
307-745-5913. And if you want to call in, again, the program, as you heard John say earlier, is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And I just finished my coffee. Don't have another pot in here, but that's all right. Had a good cup of coffee this morning. And that's what you're listening to, folks.
Well, if you get a chance, tune in tomorrow to church. Lord willing, I'm going to start a series on spiritual warfare. Seems to fit well with what we're going through right now. But we're going to start at the beginning. We're going to go to Genesis, and we're going to look at the origin of evil. And many of us understand quite a bit about that, but I think the Lord showed me some things that I don't think some of our people have seen. And I'm going to pray that message gets out to those that, like Jason was talking about, that have no idea that there was someone called Lucifer that used to be an angel that was closest to the throne of God, and I'll show you that in Scripture, and how he fell from the grace of God. And when he fell, myriads and myriads of angels fell with him. And they're not angels anymore. Down on this earth, because they're cursed, and Satan's cursed, and Satan cannot inherit the kingdom of God because he blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and neither can those that sided with him. So what do? They do everything that they can to keep us out of the kingdom. You know, something that a lot of people miss too is when Jesus went down into the water and was baptized, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and he heard the voice from his Father in heaven that said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. What happened right after that? Who led him out into the wilderness?
He was tempted by Satan.
Right, but who led him out into the wilderness? It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness to battle Satan one-on-one. So if Satan comes against Jesus, who just got baptized, you don't think he's going to come against you?
You mean baptism isn't the end? When I get baptized, that's not just the end, and then everything is hunky-dory and fine after that?
you show me in the Bible where it says that you can't be affected, but I'll tell you right now that Satan himself came against Jesus Christ in the wilderness after he was baptized for the remission of sins he was baptized in the Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Before that time, he was operating as a man.
Yeah. Amen.
I know you don't want to hear it, but
amen. Well, and we get
lots of examples. You know, when it says resist, you know, when the scripture says neither give place to the devil. Well, if he's telling us not to give place to the devil, that means we have to do something not to give place to the devil, right?
Amen.
And that we could give place to the devil if we don't do what it is we're supposed to do. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Right.
What does that mean? That means we have to resist the devil if we want him to flee from
That's
us.
Right. And that was
These
written.
Actions that he told us to do.
Yes, and look at the beginning of those books where you read those things, and it says, to the saints at Philippi, to the saints at Corinth, to the church here, that instruction is written to the saints, to the Christians
believers.
Then, and it's written to the saints, to the Christians, yes, to the baptized believers now. And it is just another part. It is part of the. It doesn't take away from baptism. It doesn't take away from. It just is a little bit more there that we are to have that. What's the term? Sanctification, holiness of life. Holiness of life, and that's what a lot of these New Testament scriptures are. A lot of the letters is what to do. And how to do it. What are we to do? We are to love our neighbors ourselves. We are to forgive. Now, this is for the baptized believer, and I don't think anybody argues those things. We are to resist the devil, right? We are to give no place to the devil.
Our pastor tried to teach us these things. Think about it. I was thinking about this the other day. He taught us to be careful not to create conduits to demons. There is no difference between creating a conduit to difference or opening a door, to demons, or opening a door to demons. Now, if he was teaching us, baptized believers, not to create conduits to demons, what does that tell you? That tells you that there's ways to create conduits to demons, and there's ways to open doors to demons. Unless, maybe you're baptized, born again of the water and spirit, and then you never encounter one of those doors, or you never create a conduit to demons, you never fall short, and then more power to you. But for most of us, the forces of hell are coming against us every day, and none of us pray as much as we need to be praying. None of us walk as close to the Lord as we need to be walking to the Lord.
Amen. In Ephesians, the beginning, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now that's who Ephesians is written to. Our battle, then he says back here in Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Well, that the saints who are faithful in Christ Jesus have to fight against the spiritual forces of darkness, the world forces of this darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That, to me, says it, that we do have to the saints who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Those are the saints who have obeyed, who have not only believed, but have repented and been baptized. That, to me, is the faithful in Christ Jesus, and who are doing their best to lead a Christian life. But that's not all of it. We don't believe in once saved, always saved. No, you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You have to fight that daily fight of faith. You continue daily. On daily, sometimes hourly, and because the enemy fights.
See, I don't think we
daily and hourly.
The Bible teaches us, though, that we, just like that story of the seven sons of Sceva and the Jewish priest, that basically they couldn't do it because they did not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? We go into that watery grave. Yes. We contact the blood. Then we're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can enact the power of the Holy Spirit and use the name Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To defeat these enemies. And you know what? That's what we're supposed to be doing. These are the things that God said. If you believe in me, these are the things that you will do. These are the fruit that you will display.
Yes. Yes.
So
it is
anyways, getting back to that story, it's that America's born again believers should cover President Trump in prayer. It's obvious that the demonic realm is stirred up by his presence, and it is also obvious that the Antichrist agenda of the globalist community is going berserk over the Trump presidency. These are simple signs to those of us that understand God's word, what President Trump is being used by the Lord in these prophetic times. Pray for him, pray for our nation, and then let's get going with the work that is before us to usher in the kingdom. Well, I couldn't agree with that anymore.
Amen. No. Amen. Well, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, we've got about 15 minutes left this morning, this last Saturday, the 25th of February, 2017.
What else you see going on in the world, Jason?
Well, it was interesting this week because, you know, talk about one of the things I got a pretty good chuckle out of it. I thought about Dad, when Dad used to say, oh, there's no difference between Republicans and Democrats, nothing but the name. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, she announced her opposition to the repeal of the Obamacare, as it means defunding Planned Parenthood, and she went on and on and on, and talk about an alien-looking woman. Oh my gosh, it was amazing to look at pictures of her. It reminds me of that movie They Live, when you see them start flashing back and forth between aliens on the television screen and on the billboards and stuff.
Yeah, looks like Nancy Pelosi's sister.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I know.
Wow.
And but it was, you know, I mean, you talk about here's somebody that's supposed to be a Republican, supposed to be a conservative, you know, has been named as a conservative, supposed to have values, and all of a sudden, you know, and the reason that she doesn't want the Obamacare Act, because she doesn't want the funding of Planned Parenthood cut, you know, you look at that and it's just like, okay, yeah, there is no difference between, you know, Republicans, Democrats, it's just a name. I mean, and it's just, you know, and talk about it, you know, when I looked at it, I thought, traitor, but that's just the way they work, and, I don't know, it was kind of interesting. I mean, it just got kind of brought a point home. You know, and the other thing that's been interesting is if you look at the global markets, Holland is seriously talking about dropping the euro. And they are, they went ahead and ordered future currencies, and they're doing a bunch of testing, and they're going to try to figure out if they can get away from the Holland and go back to their own currency, which that would be huge, and that would be a good thing, I think. I believe it would be, because, you know, you look at what all these small countries over there in Europe, since they got hooked up with the euro, what it's done to their economy, and it's just, you know, basically some of the places it's priced people out of a market. I mean, yes. there's people that can't afford to eat. There's people that for their jobs, because basically they went to a global widespread market, and there's rural areas and smaller countries that didn't have the economy that you know, say Frankfurt, Germany had, or you know, large industrious parts of Germany. You know, when you have a small economy is half or a fraction of what that is, and people aren't making that kind of money, and all of a sudden you impose that currency on them, you're going to bankrupt them. And that's what I believe that was the design of it, and that's what has happened. So this is a huge deal too, and it's getting away, and they should be able to have their own currency, and I believe that they would be prosperous and a lot more prosperous country if they could get away from the euro.
They were a more prosperous country before the euro, weren't they? Before the big merging, they were more prosperous then, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, and that's Holland.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see a hell exit, a hall exit, like we saw the Brexit. We might see that France exit. I know they've been talking about it. Maybe it'll be a hall exit as well, Holland exit.
Well, if you think about it, it's the European nations that have been targeted.
Yes.
America, for the most part, is a European nation. All the European nations within the EU, which, by the way, the European Union is crushing around them, and they're dreadfully afraid of that happening. But it's the German, Scandinavian, kindred, and Celtic white nations that have been attacked.
Yes.
Yep.
And if you look, I think a real encouraging story that I read last week, and we didn't talk about it, we ran out of time, but Hungary has finally decided that we don't care what the European Union is doing. We see that our country is being destroyed, and they've put up their own fences, and they've mobilized their own people, and the people have volunteered, and I think they only let 8 out of 16,000 or something actually stay within the country, and they're being called racists and bigots and everything else. And you know what they're doing? They just raised enough funds to put a second wall up so that there's two walls. So if you make it through the first wall, they'll catch you between the two walls, which is kind of what they do on the Mexican border as well. So it's encouraging to see. And if I read the story, and that's exactly what he said. He says, if you look at what's going on in the world, not just this country, but the world, they're infiltrating the white European Christian nations with all the other races and all the other religions and heathens.
Yes.
It's a last-ditch effort to try to, and it's not even about Islam, really. I mean, a lot of it is Islam, but it's more about Antichrist is what it
Absolutely.
Is. It's more about anti-Christianity is what it is. It's anti-Christianity. You can be any other religion you want, but if you're a Christian, a God-fearing Christian, that believes that the Lord Jesus Christ died on a cross to save you, then they want you eliminated.
Amen. The world, Jesus said, the world hated him without a cause. Yes, especially if you're white.
Absolutely.
The world hated Jesus Christ without a cause, and he tells us that, and he says, if you follow me, they'll hate you without a cause. And that's what we see, because it is these that have primarily been Christian nations, and don't think it's not happening here. The Amero, they've put that in. They have that ready to print. They have that ready to start to put America, the United States, and Mexico and Canada together, just like the EU. That's plan. That's like plan 472 over here. Just there that the ungodly, the Antichrist, is waiting on. And I'm glad you mentioned that, John. That it's not. Excuse me, got a frog in my throat. It's not really a Muslim problem. Muslims are a problem. Islam is a problem. It's Antichrist, but that's not the problem. That's not the problem. That's cannon fodder. That's one of the ways that the unseen third party says, hey, let's you and him fight. And so that unseen third party, we have to remember that. That unseen third party has pitted Christians and Muslims. That unseen third party is using the Muslims right now, because that's what's handy and that's what they can use to be the cannon fodder, you might say, against white Christianity. And it is those countries. We have a map that Jason just reprinted some for us. We've sent hundreds out. And still have some. If you'd like it, it's about placemat size. When you used to go to the restaurant and have a placemat underneath your plate, it's about 11 by 17. But it's the westward trek, and it shows the European where the children of Israel went in, and the names they used, they ended up taking into the what's now the European nations, forming the European nations, and then that migration to here. And it ties the biblical and the historical together. It's a little place map, color map, and if you don't have that, if you contact us, we'll send you one. It's a good visual to just see, how this new JERUSALEM, how it came about, how it fits into the biblical plan, and again, it ties in and it shows you where are the attacks, where are the this invasion, where is this occurring? And it's occurring against the white, the Scandinavian, the German, the Celtic, the kindred people of the world.
Yeah, if you want that map, we'll send you God Save America DVD too, and the pastor does an excellent job of explaining that.
Yes.
That is the German, Scandinavian kindred and Celtic people.
Yes.
Who are God's chosen
right.
people.
Who are the Hebrew people of the Bible. And that's not a very politically correct truth for today, but it's still a truth. It still is a truth. John, the
and
thought
it's not the most important truth. The most important truth is repentance.
Yes.
Repent and be baptized,
right.
each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Be born again of the water and the Spirit. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And once you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will start to reveal things to you. You'll
Amen.
See things in the Bible that you never saw before. The Holy Spirit will speak through you at the proper time. If you ask, you shall receive. If you want to
yes.
be able to recite Scripture, say, Lord, help me to be able to learn and recite Scripture, Father. Help me to be a better witness. Help me to fulfill the Great Commission. We have an opportunity like we've never had in my lifetime to reach people who are searching. I remember I sent out probably 40, 50 texts or emails regarding this pray for President Trump and the administration, because there's witches gathering. And some people would send back, what are you talking about? And I said, well, look it up.
Yes.
So they look it up and they say, wow, I had no idea. You know, wow, is this spiritual warfare real? Well, yeah, it's real.
Yes. Amen.
So it's just, it's encouraging.
It is. It is. Hopefully, folks, you're reading your Bible. If you are, you read about that today in 1 Corinthians 11 and 12. You read about that there is an order. God is a God of order. Talked with a man just yesterday about that. That God is a God of order. His Bible is an orderly book, and it is. You can read about the Lord's Supper, and you can read about the use of spiritual gifts. That just as we're all given different physical gifts, some are given physical gifts of height or various things. We are also given different spiritual gifts. And it talks about the body, like verse 14, the body is not one member, but many. And it talks about that body of Christ and how each of us, if we believe, if we recognize that we've sinned, if we repent and are obedient to the word and are full immersion baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that is how we become part of that body of Christ. And then today's Bible reading plan tells us about that body, about how we are different parts of it. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And I like how verse 12 or chapter 12 ends. And I show you a still more excellent way. And he has. Maybe you think you've been a Christian for years and years. As it says there, there is still a more excellent way. None of us have attained. None of us have arrived because we're still here. We are still to be learning and growing in the grace and knowledge and doing, learning how to better do and be doers of the word. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what we are doing.
Yeah,
we are.
You look at Matthew 4, our pastor always told us that the enemies of God understand the word of God more than or better than most Christians. And Matthew 4, verse 5, then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Now this is Satan speaking, right? The devil.
Yes.
For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. What was it that Jesus used to combat the word of God? On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. But this was Satan using the word of God.
Yes.
I mean, how obvious is that? I'd really never noticed that until this last time that I read through the Bible, and this was part of our reading.
Amen.
These are significant things that you won't see if you don't continue to read and read and read, because this is the living word. It's the only book that will never, ever, it's a promise, it will never, ever stop giving to you as long as you continue to seek.
Amen. Amen. Well, men, we're about out of time. Folks, we want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us. We're starting early, 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, with a scriptural review of the news. And got a few scriptures to share with you in the morning. And we're going to ask you to pray for our leaders again in the morning as well. So we encourage you to join us there at 8:30. And then at the top of the next hour, we'll have a message by Pastor Peters, the early message. And then, of course, at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast, join us. John's got a part one of this spiritual warfare message, this series. I'm looking forward to that. I'm bringing my notepad. We encourage you, and we invite you to join us for that very thing. Sunday morning, you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org and click on the live video stream if you have a good internet connection. The live audio stream will be there as well. If you just can listen in, and we do have some guests physically coming, and if you want to physically join us at church some Sunday, give us a call. Contact us here at the office, and we'll be glad to try to set that up. Well, men, thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make 'em health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, they high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more. Stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.